Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I want winners. I want people that want to win.
All right, Rod. You're into that in that guitar,
rocking,
huh?
Rocking out.
So we are here after game one of a very successful game one, I will say, for the 49ers. And one in which we were hit with some news before the game even started that star running back Christian McCaffrey was inactive. Now, we just had this conversation last night in our season preview. If you haven't heard that, that is on all of our feeds and YouTube and everything. And we were just kind of talking about, you know, the over under for his touchdowns. And the idea that the only reason why it's a little lower than we may have thought was because of the possibility of injury. And I mentioned that the local media has been sort of very blasé about his injury, but the national media was like, there may be something going on here. And lo and behold, I don't know, it was about an hour before the game started, we saw the report, Christian McCaffrey inactive. I felt like the 49ers kind of okie-doked me here, because the team itself all offseason long never really made that big of a deal about it. And yeah, it was like they had us falling for the banana in the tailpipe here.
Yeah, it was kind of like we talked about yesterday, that I just had assumed that, you know, in my little Fantasy Pros app, all offseason you had the injuries injured next to the, you know, basically the top three players in the fantasy draft, McCaffrey, CeeDee, and Tyreek. And I woke up Sunday morning and the injury designation was gone for those two, but somehow Christian now had an Achilles on top of the calf injury. So his went the opposite way of the way I thought it was going to go. So it was, and then, but then once, you know, actually, you know, once I saw that, then it, you know, obviously I wasn't really shocked when I heard that he was inactive, because I think we touched on that last night, that, I mean, just in an overabundance of caution, it just behooves you to be very, very conservative with him. You know, and as we saw today, I'm not going to say I thought it was hype necessarily about JP, but he played well. I'm not willing to, you know, say that there's, you know, Christian, now you can take your time. We got this. But it was a very good outing. It was a very good outing for him. It was a very good outing for the offensive line, who I spend a whole lot of time shitting on, but they played really well today.
Yep.
Even though McKivitz had a couple of missteps, still, even in a very good game, he played better than, you know, the bar was low, but he played better. Burford was he was kind of still Burford once he came back in. But I mean, it was a good outing, especially for on both sides of the defense, offense and defensive lines. They weren't able to get anything going, really running the ball. And that, for me, was another question mark. Hargrave was, you know, he played fine last year, but he didn't play up to a $92 million contract. And, you know, Malik Collins is a journeyman, and that it is what it is. So, I mean, I was skeptical when they told me that he's, you know, like the marquee offseason signing. It's like, okay, does he get us a step closer to the Super Bowl? Is he better than a healthy Eric Armstead? I don't think so. Now, again, we're not going to relitigate the healthy part of Eric Armstead, because that's done and over. But the returns so far are good. The places that I had major concerns, then backup, running back, the two lines of scrimmage, were bravo. They were, you know, I don't know about A+, but they were definitely B+, A-. So yeah, that was very heartening for me to see.
Now we're bearing the lead a little bit here. 49ers win 32-19. The Jets go up 7-3 early. Niners score 13 points in the second quarter, and they end the quarter with points, and then they get the first half kickoff, and then they score a touchdown. This is kind of Shanahan's thing. And so then the Jets were playing from behind the rest of the game. Both teams scored touchdowns. No, actually, the Jets scored a touchdown, and the Niners scored two field goals in the fourth. Moody was, he had six field goals today. Helped me win a fantasy game. It was amazing.
He was on fire.
He had one that kind of bounced off of the
pole, exactly.
Everything else was just it was money kicks. So
And it you know, and we get, you know, I know I was kind of hard on him last year, and I think rightfully so. But again, it's like we talked about last night, and I've saw it all day today, where, you know, you talk about, you know, the overreaction. Now, you know, while I was sitting here reading, everybody's, you know, on the, see, I told you about movie, like, absolutely, 100%, Hall of Famer now. But what I'll tell you is, you're a liar if you tell me that when he lines up for the kick, you go to the refrigerator to get a beer. We haven't got to that point yet. I'm still white knuckling these kicks. So, it was a great showing and a good start for him. Into his second season. And I'm, bear in mind, I understand he's still a rookie. That was the thing with me last year, more than anything else. The immaturity he kind of showed was kind of off-putting to me. So if he takes care of that, you know, he obviously is uber talented, but that's one of those positions, kind of like a golfer, that if you're thin-skinned, it's hard to be successful if misses, you know, like, bother you like that. You know, everybody wants to be, you know, do a good job. But if you're like a perfectionist and you're going to be pissed off every time you miss a kick, and I'm not saying you can't necessarily not care, but you kind of have to, you know, in that way, you got to forget about it and just move on from it. You can't be ruminating and being all angry and shit and throwing, you know, all of that. It's, you know, next kid, on to the next one, you know, and that was, you know, he didn't have to deal with any of that today. So good job. Great start for him.
So what we're going to do this year with this show, with this recap, this post-game show, is we're going to introduce some segments. So you'll hear a couple of drops. And if you have been a fan of us going back to the Facebook page days, these drops you'll probably get a kick out of them. What we're going to do is we're going to split up the show. We'll open the show like we did, kind of, you know, the main thread of the game, the score, all the top stories. And then we'll go into the things that we liked, the things that we disliked. And then, as I mentioned last night, I'm giving Rod the freedom to give out the Player of the Game award, which I have named after the person who is the logo in our We Want Winners podcast, Coach Singletary. It is now the Coach Sing Player of the Game. So first off,
Let's talk about some of the things that we liked from the game tonight to make the 49ers go 1-0.
And that is what this game is all about. It is a war every day.
And those are the booming, dulcet tones of one Coach Singletary. And so I wanted to start this off because I felt so... I don't want to say that I felt, you know, I felt like they lied in some way, but that CMC news was really frustrating because I feel like the 49ers made sure to communicate the least amount of information possible about his injury, which made fans believe, oh, he must be fine because they're not saying anything. We heard nothing about, you know, we heard everything about Ayuk and everything about Trent and the contract stuff, but when it came to him being healthy, I just felt like they did not say a lot. And if you heard JP Mason after the game, he said he knew he was starting by Friday. So yeah, Friday was many days ago.
Mm-hmm. So they definitely slow played the information. And I guess that's kind of Kyle's MO. He is, you know, seems to me like a guy who says as little as he can get away with. But yeah, it did. It was, I could say, even though I knew based on the injury report that things were seemed to be getting worse and not better, it was still kind of jarring that he wasn't going to give it a go at all. And I mean, the fact that it worked out is great. And now, you know, Aikman was saying he might not play Sunday.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, again, it just continues to bear watching. But yeah, that was the things that two of the things I liked I've mentioned already was the lines of scrimmage, mm-hmm. both of them, and Debo. He was a man possessed. I mean, I will talk about it when we get to the player of the game. I've got three criteria I use, and he was right there along with JP and Warner, and then Bosa got in there too. But yeah, he was really a tone setter, I felt like, along with JP, with just the tough physical, you know, he's just from, to me, the little things like the way he finishes those runs and then he gets up and he talks to the dudes. I know some people, that's a turnoff to some people, but I think that, I know that type of thing gets his teammates fired up. And that's all that really matters is, you know, setting a tone. And, you know, when you finish runs like that or you hit somebody hard, if you've ever been on a sideline, you know how everybody gets hyped after that. And that is what Debo brings to the team. And I think we need it because, you know, Warner's running partner, Dre, is that guy on the defense. He's right. The one that is the instigator and is talking and gets everybody his play, his aggressiveness. And, you know, sometimes he goes over the line, but that aggressiveness sets a tone that everybody else feeds off of. And with him not there, it's, you know, Debo is that guy. And he did a real good job of that today, along with JP. He did it too, with the way he was finishing runs. And, I'm sure they believe in him, but for me, it was, you know, I saw him do it in the preseason, but when you see him do it in and I've seen him do it kind of in garbage time, but you know, it's different when you're the guy, and it's as opposed to when it's mop up time. Mm-hmm. And he came through, you know, with flying colors. So yeah, those are two things I really liked.
I heard the Marshawn comparisons. Let's hold off on those comparisons. Yeah. Marshawn is a little bit of a different level of player. Yeah. But, you know, the one thing that it showed is that Christian, who, and we talked about this last night, he's going to make sure that he plays as much as possible. Mm-hmm. And what JP showed is like, hey, you need to spell Christian. Christian, hey, man, you know, this dude ran for 150 yards in week one. let him get a couple and just take a break on this series. I think that's what that showed most to me. You want Christian back when he's ready to get back. And also, you don't have to push him back necessarily. And I think you mentioned the Aikman thing. The Niners have a short week. They play not only Sunday, they play Sunday early, the early game, the 10 o'clock game for us. So they have a short amount of time to get into Minnesota and to play. So the one thing I wanted to mention, this is one of the things that I liked, the tackling. I think the tackling really set the tone. Breece Hall, when I was looking at some stuff earlier today, people were asking me what I thought about the game. And I said a lot of what we said last night, which is they usually game plan pretty well against Rodgers. And, you know, he's going to do Rodgers' stuff. And we saw some of that. We'll get to one thing specifically in our what I didn't like. But I thought the key was making sure that Breece Hall did not take over the game in the way that JP did. And I thought they did a fantastic job with Breece Hall. Breece Hall ended the game 16 for 54, so 3.4 yards a carry. And they could not establish any sort of running game to set up these, you know, second and shorts and such. It was a lot of second and eight and a lot of third and six. And I know that they were trying to basically do a version of what the Niners were doing, which is running early and setting up short on second and third down. And in some cases, not even needing third because you're picking up the first down in two carries. And I thought the tackling and you mentioned Warner's name. That dude was all over the field in the first quarter, just everywhere. Like he was on every single play, and I thought he was awesome. I mean, you just reminded every time you watch him. You know, he's gonna overrun a play every once in a while. He's gonna be a little bit aggressive on the pass defense and get beat. He's just so he's just such a What do you even want to call it? Playmaker, in the sense of you need a big tackle, you need a big stop, you need a third and short. He's the one that is seemingly around that ball in those situations. So I thought he was awesome.
He really was.
All right. Another part of the what I liked here. We mentioned JP. I don't think anybody could have disliked what JP did out there. Did his job, and then some. But what I also liked was their ability to not. They're not going to panic in week one, obviously, but they, you know, the Jets kind of had a little bit of a head start there. And, you know, in the back of my mind, and I think in the back of a lot of the 49er fans' minds, they were thinking, okay, if we're going to leave Rodgers with a small lead, he's just going to, you know, just take these three-step rhythm drops, and we're never going to have an opportunity to get to him because it's just going to be short stuff. And then the Niners slowly but surely kind of took hold of the game, and then you saw later in, like, the second and third quarter, he was having to hurry some stuff, and these were some balls that he would normally be okay with, and you know, throwing them slightly behind the fourth down play that Isaac Yiadom made the play on. He needed to throw that one out a little quicker. There was the sack that Floyd and Bosa kind of both. Bosa made him step up, but Floyd was right there to pick it up. I don't know if they both got credited for that. I'll look that up. But they were able to because of their ability to establish the lead and kind of not panic and get throw happy.
100%.
They were able to do what they needed to do defensively. And Rodgers, look, you know, Rodgers' numbers, 13 of 21, 167, one touchdown, one pick. He was not a big part of the game today, I don't think.
Well, it's like I'm just co-signing on what you said in the preamble before that score at the end of the first half and then going into the second half, it completely changes their game script. They can't, it really kind of takes the run away in terms of the 49ers having to really focus on that, because they're not going to be able to, you know, as Hank Stram used to say, just matriculate the ball down the field when they're down, you know, as far behind as they were. They had to throw the ball, and that, you know, it lent itself to, you know, those defensive linemen just kind of playing the run through to the quarterback. And it, you know, we saw that with our run game, and with Brock, there were several times where they were using that play action or that jet motion to kind of hold those defensive linemen and keep them from just all out rushing. And when you take that away, when you take the threat of the run away, you know, the play action, it's just not as effective. Nobody cares if, you know, we'll just play the run on the way through, because you're not gonna, you know, you guys aren't gonna just run the ball down the field. You gotta throw it, and we know it, and it just makes it harder. And it did. His numbers showed it. And like you said, there were just a couple of plays there where he just had a little less time than he needed, and that was just enough. It was just enough. So it was really like the offense helping the defense and the defense helping the offense be effective, you know, playing complementary football, as they call it.
By the way, shout out to Davis and to Sheldon, who are in the chat. All right, let's get to what we didn't like. Now, in a game like this, you kind of have to nitpick a little bit to find some things that you didn't like. They played very well for an opening night game. Especially if you watched football this weekend and saw some of the other teams and how, you know, maybe not as good. Maybe those teams didn't play as well as you thought. I thought the Niners were one of the better teams all week. All right, let's get to what we didn't like.
And more,
cannot
and most
play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it.
Can't do it. Can't do it.
Go ahead.
Well, fortunately, we don't really have anybody who we can't win with this week. Okay, my first nitpick, I can't even, because I get always criticized for giving that dude grief. So I don't know. I don't really. I'm struggling to really come up with anything that I didn't really like. How about you start?
The first thing that I thought was, here's the defense playing this super clean game. They're attacking. They're keeping everything in front of them. And then Floyd jumps off sides. Rodgers has a free play. And we've seen this time and time again. You know exactly where the ball's going. Lazard just goes straight. And he scores the easiest touchdown possibly of his life. And I'm just in my mind, I'm like, okay, if you have watched this dude play, you know exactly what he's going to do. You know what Drew Brees was going to do. You know what all the great quarterbacks are going to do in this moment. It's a free play. So I don't know why they were so behind on it. Mm-hmm. It was almost like they were frazzled, like, oh, yeah. Does this play count? And, you know, mm-hmm. first week jitters, whatever. Well, okay, but here's my question. Whenever this happens and you see the guy jump like that and you know it's a free play, can you just grab the receiver? Why does the receiver just get by? Like, I mean, it's a penalty already.
Right, yeah.
If you get grabbed for holding, it's not like an extra 20 yards,
nope.
Right? It's like,
exactly.
It's, you hold. So I don't understand why they just let the wide receiver just go freely. And, you know, yeah. Lazard scores a touchdown. That frustrated me, because I was like, these are the mistakes that if they happen in a big game, they are really ones that, you know, you're going to look back on and say, these hurt us. But in a game like this, it didn't hurt us. I was just frustrated to see it.
Yeah, that's a wild thing that he got 22 touchdown passes on that kind of play in his career. That's insane. But yeah, so I mean, it's clearly, like you say, that's his MO. He does it more than anybody in history has. And like you say, just tackle the dude at that point. I mean, you're not gonna, they can't throw an extra flag.
Okay, here's so, another one. Okay, Floyd jumps, right? He knows he's not getting back. Can he grab the offensive lineman in front of him?
Absolutely. Just play through it. I mean, they're not going to give him, they're not going to give him two penalties.
I'm just wondering if that actually stops the play if he was to make contact.
Well, and that's the thing, is that it's so inconsistent. I've seen times where when they blow it dead and they just stop it. But then there's times when, and I don't know the mechanism of when, if there is a time when it stops. And a time when it's when you're allowed to play, to keep playing, is it just like, you know, the official's discretion or what? But yeah, it's gotta be, you know, I just played through the whistle until I heard, you know, until I knew that the play would stop, I would just keep playing. And I mean, if you, you know, if they penalize you for that, then, you know, that's fine. I know as a coach, I wouldn't be too pissed about you getting that penalty, not as much as I would be pissed about the fact that you stopped playing and the dude is running down the field. So yeah, that's the ambiguity in there is just, you know, just play through the whistle. Just play through the whistle is what I would say.
Another one that I had was too many field goals. Like, if you really want to get down to, you know, on one end, Jake Moody has a great game. But on the other end, the reason why he does is because they stall out on these drives. And I think that is where I could give them a little bit of, you know, a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, because Brock and the offense, they didn't even really play too much in the preseason. There were moments where you could tell that Brock maybe wasn't as sharp as he will be. There was a pass to Kittle. There was a pass over Juszczyk's head. There was a pass in the end zone that he clearly threw away as Ayuk was cutting, that he probably would have back a little bit. But he also made some fantastic plays, that the one in the end zone that Ayuk dropped, it was a diving catch, but he had it in his hands and he let it go out. He had a couple of drops today.
And then he had a couple that where the play was there, but just kind of like, you know, and that's what I was sitting there thinking, just like the Super Bowl, if they had given him a count more, he probably makes the play. But since he's got pressure right in his face, you know, he can't step into the throw and he misses it. So again, that's not on him, but it's a miss. So, you know, we give them, you know, we probably give quarterbacks too much credit when things go well, and you know, they need to own it when they miss plays. But overall, you know, he didn't have, what were they saying during the broadcast? It was like the Saturday before the game was the first time everybody had been out there together. So, I mean, that's crazy that, you know, so that for them to be able to lean on the running game the way they were able to, you know, is a good sign, and it will let Brock kind of ease in to the season. Because like you say, he did make some plays, and the offensive line there was a lot going on there. He got some drops, so it wasn't like it's Brock's fault, or it's the receiver's fault, or it's the offensive line's fault. It, you know, just as it always is, it's everybody's fault. It's never just one person that is the reason that we are successful, and there's never just one person is the reason why things aren't going as we wanted them to. And, you know, it's good, like I say, to get a win on a day when I would say the offensive line in the running game was definitely, I think, a B+, A-. You know, the pass offense, I don't know, I would probably say B-, C+. There was a lot of meat left out there on the bone. Mm-hmm. And like you talked about, particularly on third down, there were a lot of plays that we did not make that were there to be made. And again, I fully expect us to be, you know, if that's one, that is one of Brock's calling cards, is his efficiency. So that is not something that, you know, it's kind of like, for me, one of those things where when he's not efficient, it's like a surprise. Mm-hmm. It's not like, you know, like you're pissed off. Why wasn't he more efficient? It's like you're more shocked than anything else. Because that's like one of the linchpins. One of the things that you can definitely usually count on him for is to be really efficient and get the ball out. And there were a couple of times that he did that, where he was just a beat late. Getting the ball out, like there was that one where Debo was like, you know, get it out front. Yeah. I can make it. And he held it for, he kind of double pumped it, which is not, that's just not, that's, it's not characteristic of him. So I don't, it's not something that I'm going to spend a whole lot of time worrying about. We just move on to the next, because I fully expect that on Sunday, you know, he will be his efficient and decisive self. That's my expectation.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
The last thing, I'm not going to give them too much blame here because this happened throughout the NFL. There were so many illegal formation penalties called on offenses throughout the year. So I don't know if the NFL was like, hey, guys, we're letting this, the way that this person is lining up, he's not correctly on the line of scrimmage. And that happened a lot in, I think it was the Thursday night game. So I was not surprised to see the Niners get called for it. But, you know, there were some things that where they took away some nice plays because of a holding. I think some of those holdings were also kind of wonky. Like there was the Debo one near the end zone on Mason's original touchdown run that they brought back, where I was like, that looked like a really good block to me. If there was holding, there was a holding on both sides.
Yeah, he kind of, you know, the thing of it is he kind of got outside the frame. My man turns, and they always say, if you're blocking in here, even if you've got cloth, you're good. But if that dude gets you stretched out in any way and you're out here with the block, you're going to get called. And that's what happened. It was, you know, Aikman saying that, you know, it wasn't germane to the play, but how the hell does he know that? He's just, he's out there competing. So what are we doing now? We're saying that, you know, you let the block go if you don't think, it's not part of the play, so I'm just going, you know, release my block. Now it was, you know, it was a ticky-tack call, I think, but yeah, by the letter of the law, it probably was a hole. But the fact that it did not have anything to do with the play, and like you say, that my man also had a handful of jersey on the other side. I mean, I think that, that's just a play on if it's me.
That was more my, you know, the thing that I thought was like, it looked like both guys were, you know, were grabbing. But yeah, so, you know, the offensive stuff, like the referees had their issues as well. So much so that they have this thing where I guess the replay booth can actually overturn calls that are clearly missed by the referees, and that happened twice in the game. I was actually surprised to see that. I was like, wow, they're actually, you know, they're able to turn that thing over so quick. And then when we watch actual replays, it takes like 5 minutes to figure something out. So there, that was interesting. But
and that's all right. Good. You know, it's good that, you know, I know for the longest time they used to talk about like a replay that they don't want to like, and they talk about it in baseball too. They don't want to show the referees up by overturning calls. But hell, if they get it wrong, get it wrong. Shit, let's get it right.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. So as I said last week, I'm giving you full accountability, full responsibility to give our player of the week. And what we're going to do each week is we're going to post a photograph or graphic of said player of the week on Instagram. You can follow us at BSPN_media. I'll also throw it up on Twitter, BSPN Media without the underscore on Twitter. It's kind of fun to have that kind of stuff out there, kind of documenting picks and stuff. And I think it'll be a lot of fun. So before we get to Rod's choice of player of the game, let's hit the drop here.
I want winners. I want people that want to win.
There we go.
And I took my duty seriously. So I have three criteria for the coaching player of the game. The first is impact play, the serious playmaker. The second one is the stat stuffer, you know, player who is statistically superior. And then third is kind of my fun one. It's like the swagger factor, style points, guys that pumped up the team, pumped up the crowd, and performed well, but did so with flair. And then there's also, it's three, so there shouldn't be a tiebreaker, but I also put down there for a tiebreaker the underdog alert, somebody who's an unexpected hero, you know, somebody who steps up. Kind of would have been like if my man, the rookie, who I didn't even know his name, if he had had like, you know, two more picks, he might have got bonus points for, you know, coming off the bench and doing his thing. But as it turns out, it was easy. It was JP. On all three accounts. Like I said, Debo was in the running there for a bit, and then Fred was as well, but you know, with, you know, just his just flying all over the place and just, you know, making big plays. But ultimately it came down to JP was the only person who was there like in all three categories. He made, you know, plays, you know, touchdowns and big runs. He was the most statistically impressive player of the week. And then I love the fact, the way how his running style and how he takes it to the other team, and it, and how those, you know, the way he finishes runs, you know, gets his team and his offensive linemen are all fired up. You know, so he hit on all three, so he was pretty easily, you know, actually I kind of stopped tracking after the third quarter. He he pretty much had it wrapped up at that point. So for the inaugural Coach Singh player of the game, it's Jordan Mason. Congratulations, young man.
Yes, we need to figure out a way to get this graphic to him so that he can
put it in a place of honor in his home.
Maybe we can find a way to tag his mom on Instagram or something. She got a little bit of TV time today. Mm-hmm. All right. So now the question with Jordan Mason, I think he's the guy. He's definitely the player of the game. So the question is now on the short week, we don't know. Because the 49ers have been so coy about this injury, we do not know what the deal is with Christian.
Jordan Mason, first game is at, or first starter, game starting is at home, which makes it a lot easier. Though it is on Monday night, it is the big game of the week. Are you more comfortable with him going into Minnesota, which was not a kind place for us last year, and being in that dome, being in that loud dome, different tempo, early game? Minnesota had a big win in week one. Are you more comfortable for him to play that game and to be there? Or if Christian is 80%, he's got to play. What is your mentality on that one?
Well, I would want Christian to be as close to, I don't know if that's even a reality at this point with the fact that he's not healthy now. I was going to say be 100%. I don't even know if that is going to be in the cards at this point at all this season. So then it's just a matter of, I wouldn't want him to play if there's any risk. If the doctor says there is there's only a 20% chance that he can re-aggravate or make it worse, I don't know that I'm willing to take that gamble yet at this point. I would, I don't know that I'd be necessarily considering IR, but I would damn sure want that to be closer to 85-90% than 75-80%, especially now that we've banked a win. Like you just said, everything is kind of lining up against you. If as a gambler, you know that Monday night going East Coast to West Coast for the early game, that is a horrible spot for the road team. So I'm not saying that
it's almost like a trap game, right?
Yeah, it is early. It's early, but yeah, it is like a trap game. So I'm not saying that you necessarily go back there just playing for the split, but I don't know that. I think, again, just like it seems like they did this week, I think, again, that's where we need to be at with Christian, is an overabundance of caution. If there is, again, what I hear the reporting was is, now again, this is now real foggy based on the fact that JP said he knew he was playing Friday for them, because the reporting I'd heard first was that he worked out yesterday and there was tightness. Mm-hmm. And that led to the decision. Well, there's a lie out somewhere. If they made the decision, if he knew on Friday that he was starting, I don't understand what the reporting that Christian, they shut him down yesterday or Saturday after he was reporting tightness. So I don't know. I don't see how both things can be true.
Yeah.
If Jordan was going to start, but Christian was still going to play. I don't know that makes a whole lot of sense.
That doesn't make sense.
Again, I would go ahead and let him do his preparation. But again, if he's got any kind of tightness or he's uncomfortable, and I don't even know how you do that with a player of his competitiveness, because I don't know. I just kind of see him as a guy who will tell you what you want to hear. And he's been around long enough to know what to say to get out there, even, like the contestant test, he's tapping him on his leg too, just trying to, they know how to game. I'm just saying, vets know how to game the system to get out to say what they need to say to get out there to play. So that would be my concern, but I wouldn't want him out there dealing with any kind of tightness or stiffness or anything. I would just assume give him a whole nother week and then another week of preparation to get out there. But if he says he's ready to go, I'd probably play him, but I would definitely be leaning towards giving JP more reps, because I think he proved tonight that he's more than capable.
Absolutely. Were you worried at all? He did have one catch, But when you take Christian out of the lineup, you do have to adjust offensively because you have specific plays that are getting Christian the ball downfield or getting him the ball in space so that he can actually utilize that speed. They did not do that for JP. So I don't know if that meant that they just took those plays out or if there were more things designed for Jennings, because Jennings had a very nice game, though he did get hobbled a little bit, but he did get back in there. I thought Jennings was just clutch as usual. Like that dude is just there to make that catch when you need it. And, you know, Kittle was he didn't really do too much. He had a nice play where he kind of made some goofy dance after it that, you know, just so the announcers could say how much fun he has out there playing. You know, they love to mention how his fun personality. So the only reason I would be a little worried and not just throw Mason out there. I think the Niners are just a little bit more predictable offensively,
because he's not going to the slot. You're not Xing out, because you could tell even on that one catch, he's not a natural catcher of the ball.
Yeah.
It was a nice catch, but that's just not, you know, like Aikman said, and it's true, you know, Christian could probably be a all pro slot receiver.
Yeah.
He could be
Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, exactly. We talked about it all fantasy season, guys like Etienne and Gibbs, you know, being, you know, 10 target guys, but you rarely see it. But Christian is clearly the prototype of that type of player. He definitely could get 10 targets and 10 carries in a game. He's that kind of guy. And that's just something that kind of multiplicity is just something that you miss with JP, and I'm sure it makes defending them just a little bit easier. But when they're blocking the way they were blocking today, it kind of doesn't matter. But again, I'm not at a place with this team where I can just, you know, write that down and pin that's what it's going to be, is these guys are just going to road grade anybody that you set out there in front of them. So again, great week, but I don't know much about Minnesota's defense. I'll know more about it by the time game time comes.
Yeah,
but
we need to do our homework with
that. Exactly.
And so here, one last thing about JP versus Christian is the other thing that I was thinking about is in the perspective of Minnesota game planning for this game. Now, this is why the 49ers are going to be coy, because they want Minnesota to game plan for Christian, especially if Christian is not playing. They don't want to wake up on Sunday morning having only prepared for Mason, and then they hear that Christian is ready. Mm-hmm. But if you have to prepare mostly for Mason, then you're going to attack the offense a little bit differently. You're probably going to stack. You're probably going to force Brock. You're probably going to blitz a little more. You want Brock to make plays to beat you, because you probably think that is your opportunity. This is what they did last year. They put pressure on Brock. They hit Brock. I think that's the one thing that if Christian is healthy or if he is available, the game planning for Brock or for the offense will be a little bit different. But maybe they do game plan for JP, and the Niners are just cut to be able to handle it, and they can run the football in a very similar way. Though, thinking like Shanahan, he probably would use, if he believes that the Vikings are preparing for the run a little bit more, he probably would use it more for play action and to get into and to let Brock cook a little bit. But that's kind of my one worry about Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I just, you know, being able to, you know, he just makes everything, it makes it so much easier, because you're so multiple, and you can, you know, you just never know, because Christian can go out to the X, he can go out to the slot. Debo can be the running back. It's just so many things You know, he can put them both back there in the backfield. There's just so many ways that he can deploy those two guys that when you take one away, you make it a little bit easier for the defense. But you're 100% right that there's no way that a defensive coordinator, any defensive coordinator worth his salt, especially somebody as type A as Brian Flores, is not going to spend, you know, hours upon hours this week preparing for Christian McCaffrey. And any time that they take away from preparing for a team that doesn't have him, spending it preparing for a team with him is a win for Kyle. So I'm sure, like you, he's going to play coy all the way. We won't know the truth until probably game time again. So yeah, that's going to be worth watching, and we're going to make Sunday morning extremely interesting. At least next week, I don't have to wait.
Yes.
You know, I don't have to wait all weekend to figure out, you know, that cliffhanger. That reveal is going to happen early. I'll know by 8:30 whether or not he's active or not.
We're going to get out of here because it is late. But I wanted to ask you one more thing. And last night, as we were recording, the Rams and the Lions were playing. Were you able to watch that game back?
I did. And it was interesting. You kind of talked about they were able to basically shut down St. Brown. Goff didn't look great other than when he was targeting J-Mo.
Awesome.
Jameson Williams, he did well. But other than that, no. And then, as you had talked about, Stafford is amazing. That dude. And it didn't, you know, I'm sorry to hear about Puka.
Yeah.
Because, they are rivals, but I don't like to see them dudes get injured.
No.
You know, I don't want them to play well. I don't necessarily want them to play well, but I also don't want it to be because they're hurt.
Yeah.
But that guy, number 15, I don't even know his name. He balled out too. So I don't know. Sean McVay, he just, you know, he's able to just make receivers, it looks like. And then I was talking to somebody online today. It seems like the demise of Cooper Kupp was greatly exaggerated.
How many catches did he have?
He had like 12. He was crazy. It was all over the place. He just gets open, and it was at one point, you know, once Puka's gone, it's like they were like triple teaming him, yeah, and he was still able to get open. So that's going to be interesting. When did we get them?
I think it's in 2 weeks.
Okay. That's what I thought, is after Minnesota. So yeah, it'll be interesting.
I think they are going to have to get Kyren Williams into the mix. He is going to have to be a big time player for them, especially if Puka is out, because we talked about game planning and being one dimensional. Everybody knows the ball's going to Cooper Kupp. Not that you can necessarily stop him, but the thing about it is, yeah, we play week 3 in LA, 125. The thing is because they have to be so creative with getting him open, and you don't want Stafford out there taking a beating. It is a lot of short stuff. It's a lot of quick stuff.
Had to be, because man, they were pulling dudes out of the stands to play offensive line. They was, by the time I turned the game on, they were on their third tackle.
Yeah.
It was crazy. So that's something that bears watching. Are they just going to be a mass unit on offensive line? Because like you say, it makes it so much more difficult, because Matt Stafford with time versus Matt Stafford pressure, he's two different dudes, just like any quarterback, really. So that bears watching, you know, just because, you know, they're in our division, and we, you know, that's probably outside of us, those are the teams I kind of spend the most time watching is.
And I know the Lions came out of that game with the win. I still hate the overtime rules. I just hate the fact that the Rams didn't have an opportunity to get a shot. But if Stafford threw a really, really dumb interception right before the end of the first half, I know that's the one that probably kept him up all night, because it's not necessarily a play that he's, you know, he's not going to make that play. Generally, he's going to make the right play. Had that touchdown actually scored, that's a different ballgame. And the Rams are probably comfortably ahead as you get in late in the game versus, you know, them just, and this is the NFL today also. If you only need 3 points to tie, with the way that the kickers are today, you do not have to get far, because let's think about what they've done with the kickoff. Now you boot the ball in the end zone. It comes out to the 30. You only need to go 35 yards and you're right there for the 3 points. And the defense doesn't want to give up a big play, so they give up stuff in front of them. And if you break one like they did, you're already in field goal position. So, you know, I don't know what the analytics tell you, but man, the idea of going up 3 points versus 7 points has never meant more, I don't think, in the NFL because of how good these kickers are.
Well, yeah, I don't have the official count, but I know my unofficial count. I saw like 360 plus attempts. Because like you say, the kickers, they're just bombing it. And I know, what was the Detroit kicker? He was a USFL kicker, and he made like a 67 yarder in a game there, or 64, something crazy like that. Because the record is 66. It was just under that, the Prather record. So, I mean, like you say, you don't have to get that far to be in field goal range. And Moody, we've got one of those guys too. Moody is not, you know, he is in range. You know, you get him just a little past the 40, and he is a threat. So yeah, it matters. It really does matter.
All right, that's gonna be it from here. I think I got through all my stuff. I had my rundown. Let me just make sure this is, you know, first week for us.
We need a scroll for a sidebar like PTI.
Yeah, no, you know what? That's probably doable. If we wanted,
I'm not trying to give you more work.
No. I can probably figure out how to do it if we wanted it. So yeah, we got through everything. First week is in the books. We will be back next week. Do we want to go after the 10 o'clock games, or do we want to wait until after the 1 o'clock games? It's up to you.
Let's crowdsource our audience. I mean, I'm down either way.
My wife would probably like it if I got it done sooner than later.
Let's do it then. Then she is the program director. Okay. So we'll go
after the Minnesota game.
Exactly.
And you know, I'm recording a lot of games anyways, because I can actually get through a game in the way that I watch in almost the hour time that the game actually is, because I'm skipping through so much stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's how I watch the game film, is I'm watching it with my 10-second skip. So, all right, after Minnesota and San Francisco, we will be back. Game one in the books, 49ers win. Jets were formidable, but it was clear that the Niners are the better team tonight. And so we'll be back next week. For Rod, I am Double G. See you when we see you. Peace out.
Hey, football fans. BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice, up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.